Hey, it's the lady with the red tram hat. Welcome to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars, where we talk about events, rides, and much more across the state of Indiana. If you haven't had a chance to check out our website or our social media platforms, take a moment, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We've got a lot of great posts to check out. And if you are new to Bicycle Indiana, please consider joining and becoming a member. Without our members, we couldn't do the great things that we're doing today to help educate and advocate for cycling here in the state of Indiana. So go on over to bicycleindiana.org and check it out. Today's episode, I get a chance to talk to a really great human being that I met actually on social media. And it's a really great discussion between a cyclist in the Carmel area that advocates but also puts on events and rides and raises awareness for cancer. So I hope everyone enjoys this episode and discussion that I have with this individual. And I hope as we continue with this podcast that we get some great content and discussions. And if you have anyone that you're interested in, you know, wanting to be interviewed or be part of this, you know where to find us. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know. So like I said, I've never done this before, but I kind of want to create, you know, some podcast-like materials to share with the communities about people that are doing great things across the state. So again, I welcome you to chatting with me, which for all those who are listening, my name is Margaret Baraskis, and I'm the executive director of Bicycle Indiana. And I have Bryce, is it Zoller, how you pronounce the last name?
Zeller.
Yeah, I would say my last name is kind of complicated too. So, but really excited for you to be here. I know we met on Instagram and we have a lot of mutual friends in common, and I'm just really excited for you to be here. So welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to ask you some questions and feel free to fill in, you know, any other information that you want to, but first Tell me about yourself. Who are you? And you obviously are a Hoosier, and tell me about your story.
I am a cyclist and a skier, and, I pay for those, hobbies by being a lawyer, during the day, and sometimes at night.
Nice. Go ahead.
And I went to IU and I got started cycling when I was at IU back in the 90s.
Well, that's great. Did you participate in the Little 500 at all, or?
I did. And I was with the SAE team, and I helped coach for a few years as well. And have recently started to assist in coaching again, just because one of my teammates and one of my best friends, he's got boys that are down there now on the SAE team.
Nice. I was bummed that they scheduled their big race during Barrie-Roubaix, because I really wanted to go down and watch it. I'm hoping next year I can at least come out to some of their qualifying events and see how the events happen.
Well, it was chilly down in Bloomington, sunny, but chilly. So I can only imagine what it was like up in Michigan.
It was perfect weather. So that's really exciting. I appreciate the information. Tell me how you got into cycling. What's your story behind that?
I got into cycling, you know, I had a cousin that rode for SIGEP at IU, and he kept bugging me, you know, let's do a triathlon. I've been doing triathlons, do a triathlon with me. And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll do a triathlon. And I had a fairly new mountain bike at the time. And I'm like, so can I just use this? And he just started laughing and said, No, you really can't use a mountain bike. I'm like, why not? He's like, let's go out for a ride and I'll show you. And I learned really quickly that even as fast as I thought I was on a mountain bike, I was not that fast.
Right.
That was in 1991.
Okay.
I did some triathlons that summer and got hooked, and then started racing on the road and in criteriums in the fall of 92 and 93. Mm-hmm. And I've never looked back. I got as high as a category 2
racer
in the very early 2000s, and then I had kids and got sidetracked, and I haven't raced as a category racer in probably two decades, but about 4 or 5 years ago, I got back into racing, at least in terms of gravel racing.
Nice.
I had some health issues. I got hit by a car in 2014. Really kind of wrecked my shoulder, had a bunch of surgeries on that, and kind of was away from the bike. I mean, riding a little bit, but maybe, you know, like 1,000 miles a year or something.
Right.
Had some other health issues in the late teens, contracted sepsis while I was in the hospital,
oh,
and
boy.
Just about died, lost my ability to walk, use my arms, spent six plus months in the hospital and rehab centers learning to walk again.
Oh, wow.
Very, very close to death. So I didn't cycle a lot during those years.
Right.
And then I had a buddy that I worked with, a younger guy, who rode his bike to work every day. He was a big cyclist. And he said, "Hey, I'm going to do this one day ride across Michigan, ODRAM.
Yeah.
Why don't you join me? Why don't you do it?" And I'm like, "I don't know. And I mean, this is already July." And he's like, it's in August. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
And so he talked me into it. I had less than a month to prepare. I got back on the bike, and I really, really enjoyed, I don't know if you know about ODRAM, but it raises money for juvenile diabetes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
So to be in the race, you know, you're expected to raise some, you know, pledge some money, raise some money. And so I did that, and I really, really enjoyed that. And I ended up raising like $2,000 or $3,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So much so that the organizer of the events, like, you can come back next year for free, and each year that you want to come back for free, as long as you'll, you know, try to do that again.
Yeah.
So we went and did it, and, you know, I don't think I comprehended what 150 miles was going to be like.
And in Michigan, which is like, you know, up and down, up and down.
Thankfully it was from west to east, so we had a nice tailwind.
Nice.
But I did it, and it's like, man, I fell in love with the bike all over again.
Oh, good.
I started riding, and then that's kind of how I got to Team Heroes. Cause I thought, well, why don't I combine like trying to raise funds and do that with cycling? And, Team Heroes was a perfect combination, cause I knew some guys on the team. And, you know, I knew they, you know, they had the Spin for Heroes at the time, and now it's Fit for Heroes, but I got involved in that, and, you know, it's been great. I mean, I loved it. I'm now on the board of directors at Heroes Foundation.
Yeah.
And I even started my own little fundraiser 4 years ago called Unbound for Heroes. It's a fundraiser that I used as part of my annual trek to Emporia, Kansas for Unbound Gravel.
Nice.
And I used that to raise funds, just a pledge drive, basically. And each of the 3 years I did it, I raised over $15,000 each year.
Nice.
I didn't do it this year just because I needed a break from doing Unbound. 3 years of that was plenty.
Yeah.
And last year there was quite a bit of mud, and I had a lot of damage to my bike. And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to sit 2024 Unbound out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since you brought up, Team Heroes, I know you kind of talked a little bit about your journey and how you found the team, I guess. Could you kind of explain a little bit about the team and how they started and how, you know, their different fundraisers and programs and rides?
Yeah. You know, the Heroes Foundation is basically premised on, you know, trying to support cancer patients and their families, trying to raise money for cancer research, and then trying to live a healthy lifestyle. It's those three kind of tenets. And Team Heroes comes in under the third one, trying to live a healthy lifestyle, trying to show the public, you know, the healthy choices that you can make. And that's like exercising, you know, wearing sunscreen, wearing hats when you're in the sun, trying to protect yourself from skin cancer.
Right.
And so that's kind of what Team Heroes is all about. It's a really huge team, probably over 100 people.
Oh,
and I'd
great.
Say of that 100, there's probably 30 that do a fair amount of active racing, criteriums, road races. And then there's a handful of us that do a lot of gravel events too. But it's a great team, really great team. I know most of the guys really well, and certainly the guys that run the team really well, because some of those guys are also involved in the board. It's a great team. We're out in the public a lot. We have the fundraisers each year. It used to be Spin for Heroes. Now it's Fit for Heroes. And we do like toy drives and things like that for the children's hospital, and food deliveries and things like that. It's just a really great group, and it's a great way to stay involved in cycling, but also to give back.
Sure. No, I mean, I've seen the name. I've raced with individuals I know Brian Enlow. He's a Team Heroes guy. I see the name. And also the woman who manages Tour de Komen for the state of Indiana messaged me about your ride. That's the Fit for Heroes. Is there anything that you want to, let our listeners know about that event specifically, that they could get involved or how to ride with it,
Well, it's nice in that you can join that fundraiser, and, you can track your walking, jogging, if you're like a person that loves to do rowing machines.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you track your time. It used to be just an event, a standalone event, where we would go and get on spin cycles and do that. And they still are going to have that, but now it's fully encompassing now, like all health related activities, jogging, running, if you're somewhere where it's, it can be anything, just
right.
As long as you can track your time.
Yeah.
If you're interested in it, go to heroesfoundation.org. And there's a bunch of ways you can sign up for that and start raising money. And it all goes directly to fighting cancer.
That's great. That's great. We'll plop that information too in the description. So now the big question is for this year, since you're not doing Unbound, what's on your list? What's on your bucket list for this year for races, events, or just having fun on the bike?
The last few years I've done Unbound, which is in early June. And then last year I added on Finland Gravel. My former cycling coach, Amy Charity, is the president and owner of Steamboat Gravel. And then she partnered with Formula One driver Valtteri Bottas and professional women's cyclist Tiffany Cromwell.
Okay.
And they started Finland Gravel.
Oh.
So I did that last year. And I'm doing that again this year. That's in middle of June.
Okay.
And then I'll do Steamboat Gravel, which is in August out in Colorado. And then I'll probably do Dust Bowl here in Indiana.
All right. Nice.
And those are my three races. Finland is fantastic. It's like a 110-mile race, 7,000 feet of climbing. And it's just, it's beautiful. Just rolling hills. People are super friendly. And it's a really cool place that otherwise I probably wouldn't go to. It's in Lahti, Finland, just about an hour north of Helsinki. And so, I went there last year, met all kinds of really cool and interesting people, some professional racers. And, there were some great names that were in our race last year. I think the winner last year was Tom Scoynes of Lytle Trek, and there's a lot of professionals that are there, and there'll be more professionals there this summer.
Yeah,
I got to meet a lot of those people last year in Finland, and then ended up going and doing a gravel event in Portugal with that group, which was part of Steamboat Gravel, Finland Gravel, you know, got to ride again with some people like Flavio Oliveira, who's, you know, since become a pretty good friend, and I've gotten to know her really well. And I think I just about have her talked into going to Finland.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, she's awesome. And, you know, just kind of expanding the cycling community. And, you know, she's another person that really strives to give back. And she's very into, you know, raising awareness and getting more people on bikes, especially women, which I think is fantastic.
Definitely.
And Amy Charity, who does Steamboat Gravel, is great at that as well. Like, she's got one of the, she was one of the first people to have a gravel race where the payouts were equal for women to men. And I think that's, you know, a really, really great thing as well. And, you know, she attracts, you know, the best of the best in terms of gravel racing every year. So
that's great.
Really looking forward to it.
Sounds like a really fun, packed, fun-filled summer and year for you on the bike. That's really great. I'm excited to hear about it, you know, as you race these different races. So we got to talk about Dust Bowl, since it's an Indiana gravel event, and Mark O'Leary is a real good friend of mine. And I've been from the beginning kind of helping him prep for this big race, and it's obviously blossomed into an incredible event. Right. Have you done the Dust Bowl 100 is the first question.
Yes.
Okay.
I did 2 years ago. I was signed up last year. I didn't go last year just because I opted to go out to Steamboat and
set
up a gravel camp to get ready for Steamboat, just because I needed to get some hills in. So I didn't do Dust Bowl last year, which was kind of a bummer because Reggie ended up coming.
He did. He did.
And, you know, he's another great person for the sport of gravel racing and mountain biking. I mean, he's just a fantastic person to have out front as a spokesperson. And, you know, if it's accessible to a 6'7", 6'8" guy, then it's accessible to anybody.
I know. Well, that poor man found me at one point on the course, and he said he had to arrow tuck to draft off of me, and I felt bad.
Well, I always joke, Brian Enloe is a pretty good friend of mine, and he does this ride in the morning of about 20 or 30 of us do, called Sunrise Express. We ride every morning at 5:45.
Oh, gosh.
During the ride, the sun comes up. We're riding too fast to really notice that, because it's a hang on, you know, hang on by the skin of the teeth kind of ride. But Brian and I are always laughing that when the ride gets going really fast, we always find ourselves behind, you know, the smallest people that are super fast.
Right.
I'm 6'4", so I'll be sitting
behind you.
Right. Everybody wants to be on my draft, but I have to almost climb inside my frame to get a draft off of some of the shorter people.
No, I get it. I mean, people always say, you know, I'm a crappy draft, but, you know, what can you do, right?
Right. Probably get dropped by you, because I know you're a strong rider too.
I try, but I do text Brian sometimes when I really want a hard effort type of ride. I'm like, can you drag me around Zionsville or Noblesville for a while? But it usually never works out. He's a great dude. And he did very well at Paris-Roubaix.
So, oh, did he?
Yeah, he got fifth in his age group, or fifth overall. I'm sorry, fifth overall.
Yeah. He's super, super strong.
Yes, he is.
One of the strongest guys that does the SRE ride.
Yeah. Great guy. So now my next question is, so for the Dust Bowl, for these events, what's your bike setup? Like, these are the things that I think people want to know, because, you know, everyone has their own setup.
Well, the last 3 years I raced on an S-Works Diverge. And I really, really like that bike because it's got like 40 mil of travel in the front fork. But my people at Motion Cycling, and particularly my current coach Kelsey, and you know, her guy Chris, who runs the shop, I kept looking at their Factor bikes, and I'm
I know,
are they nice? Beautiful bikes. And so they talked me into it. They didn't have to talk very hard. And I got a Factor Ostro gravel.
Nice.
That I've been riding for about a month, and I'll race that at Dust Bowl with some deep dish Roval Rapide wheels that are really like 50 mil, 60 mil wheels. It should be perfect for that because it's not a super rough course.
Yeah, it's pretty tame.
Yeah, and so I'll ride that. I'll probably carry a hydration pack, mm-hmm. and then, you know, a couple of bottles, and I should be good to go.
Sounds great. Well, if you can come out to one of the recon rides, check them out. They're on their website and Facebook. I'll be there helping out. But no, that's really exciting. So the next question is what kind of tire are you running?
You know, I got hooked on the S-Works Pathfinder 42 mil like 2 years ago, and I ended up doing the 105 mile unbound in like 627.
Dang.
So and I found that tire is really nice and that it's got some good grip on the outer edges, but it's smooth across the top. So it's when you are on tarmac or pavement or something smooth, it rolls pretty well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody who is into gravel cycling pays attention to Dylan Johnson and his Minimal Gains podcasts and all his studies about wheels and rolling. And, you know, he's done a bunch of testing that like a 40 millimeter wide tire will roll just as fast as is it 32, 34, yeah. 36? So I've stayed with the 34 or the 42, I'm sorry. And that's kind of what I ride all the time.
And it works.
And, you know, I can even go out on road rides on that bike and I have to spin really hard, but I can hang with guys on the road with that tire.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's great. Okay. Last serious question about gear, SRAM or Shimano?
Oh, Shimano. I know you're wearing a SRAM hat.
Instant.
I know you're wearing a SRAM hat, but I've been Shimano for 30 plus years. And, you know, it's just what you're used to.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a cyclocross bike that has SRAM and I really like it. Mm-hmm. But I've never had any issues with Shimano. You know, on the road, I'm Durace, and on the gravel, I'm GRX, and mm-hmm. just really been pleased with it.
That's great. No. Hey, I wear the hat because long story about that, but I wear it from my previous job where I worked with kids and I put on mountain bike events for kids in the state. Nice. And parents and families and the kids couldn't find me because I kind of look like a kid sometimes, but I would wear the red hat so they would come nice. And find me. Right.
Well, I like the hat. When I met you at Motion, you were wearing the red hat.
I was.
Commented that I really liked the hat.
I was working on my bike that day because it was creaking, but I finally figured out the creak. It was my seat.
It was
just crusted with who knows what on the seat post. So, you know, you got to take care of those things. So my last question for you is kind of maybe a little bit bigger question, but as my role in Bicycle Indiana is to increase awareness as well as talk about bike education, bike safety, even advocate for bike safety, what do you see kind of a big picture for the state of Indiana as cycling? Like, how do you view cycling in the state? Do you see it more focused on gravel riding? Do you see it more focused on, you know, utilitarian kind of style? I guess it's kind of a vague and weird question for me to ask you, but
yeah, if there's any,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm a 3-time survivor of being hit by cars. So I've jumped in that ring 3 times and lost pretty quickly in each of those battles. Cars beat bikes. Mm-hmm. So my biggest thing about cycling is be visible. You know, I always ride with a blinking taillight. I always wear a helmet. I mean, I won't even ride down in the neighborhood without a helmet on. And I even started riding with a headlight, a flashing headlight, just because the more I can do to be visible. I think, you know, cycling is, it seems like it's picked up the last few years, especially like since COVID.
Yeah.
You know, for a while when I worked downtown, I work mostly at home now, but when I was working downtown, I was commuting by bike every day, you know, from Meridian Hills to downtown. And, you know, I take the Monon down, and there were quite a few people that were doing that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would say the future is just utility, road, gravel. I think all of it, you know, and mountain biking as well. There's some great places to mountain bike here in central Indiana, mm-hmm. you know, Fort Bend and Town Run. And certainly if you go down to Brown County, there's some fantastic trails there. So I really don't think it should be, or I wouldn't limit it at all. I enjoy riding on the road. I enjoy riding on the gravel. I enjoy riding on the dirt. I enjoy riding on the sidewalk as long as there aren't people on the sidewalks.
Right.
I don't ride a lot on the Monon just because it's
busy.
It's busy. Yeah. And it's not, I don't think it's really for, I mean, it's for casual cycling, but I don't think it's for like serious cyclists.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I have a lot of bikes in my garage. I mean, I've in my basement and on my wall, and I don't think riding a bike is, I mean, I think it's the most fantastic thing that I've found in my life is getting on a bike and riding.
Oh, absolutely.
There's nothing else like it that I can go out and just, it shuts my mind off for however long I'm out on the bike. And the older I get, the more I want to be on the bike and just kind of be on the bike all the time and shut my mind off 24 hours.
Well, I'm sure with a job that probably is very stressful, you have the opportunity to go outside and get some fresh air and sunshine.
It's nice. It's very, very nice. And, you know, there's some very bike friendly places around Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's become a lot more bike friendly. You know, I rode in Bloomington when I was down there this past weekend, and, you know, I still had some people, you know, buzzing by us, and there's still some hostility out there.
Yeah.
Cyclists. That I see in Bloomington, which is surprising because it's such a big bike, bike centric area. You know, I would love to see Indiana become more like Mallorca, which is the most bike friendly place that I've ever ridden a bike.
Okay, go on.
Mallorca is like 3 or 4 to 1 bicycles to cars.
Wow.
It's totally centered around cycling. There's probably 15 or 20 bike shops on that island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, everybody's friendly towards cyclists. You know, yeah. Every cafe and restaurant has bike racks. I would like to see more of that. I would like to see, you know, more people on bikes, less people in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it makes for a happier village, a happier community.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I live in Terre Haute, and it's a whole different world when I go out to Fishers or even Carmel with 150 roundabouts is what Kevin White is, the city of Carmel says. And, you know, I even go out to even kind of the Greencastle area, and they have the Vandalia Trail, which is part of the Dust Bowl route. And I moved from Michigan, kind of the Detroit area, about 8 years ago, and their mountain bike infrastructure and rail trail infrastructure is incredibly different, you know, than here in the state of Indiana. And as new as I am to this position, I've been learning so much about the state and the different areas and how things are implemented. So it's great to hear that you are seeing an improvement.
For sure.
It's great that more and more people are getting out on bikes. So I appreciate you coming onto this call today and talking to me. Like I said, I'll hopefully turn this into a fun podcast so that way people can learn about, well, what you do, but also about the Heroes Foundation and the team and how to get involved. If people want to get involved with the team, do you want them to go to the website or contact you?
Either okay. is fine. I can put people in touch with, you know, the powers that be and the people that can make that happen. I mean, I can kind of make it happen. I can at least get them to the right people, the Court Maples and the Lauren Andersons and the Don Birches and those folks that are really, really heavily involved in the organization of the Team Heroes, which is, again, fantastic team. And they've got some fantastic riders on that team as well.
That's great. Anything else that you want to share with either me or with the state of Indiana? No, they're going to be listening.
You were talking about the infrastructure and the rail trails. And I grew up in southern Indiana. And so I still go down there to visit my parents and to get a lot of hills in, because there's a lot of hills down there. But they've started to kind of tear out the railroad tracks in a lot of areas down there. And, you know, the idea, what I hear, is they're going to make those into, like, you know, greenaway rail trails. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, with the South Monon coming in, I don't know if that's the south part that you're going to be or you're from, but they have, I think it's 62 miles or something incredible that got approved by the next level trails, and they are starting to implement it. And it's, some of it's gravel right now, but they've taken out the old railroad parts and trying to get that going.
Yeah, just yesterday I rode up to Sheridan, and you know, the route we do when we go up to Sheridan is we jump on the Monon and take the very last bit of the Monon north, where it kind of ends at in Sheridan. And it's like, you know, there's nothing. It's so nice to be on something like that and not have to just constantly be looking to your side for cars coming out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
So the more the better.
Yeah. I started riding with one of those radar lights on the back of my bike. It was a little bit more money, but at the same time, now that I don't have it on sometimes, I'm always like looking at my computer thinking, when is it going to beep at me?
Yeah.
But it is helpful to have that type of technology. So,
yeah.
Well, great. If there isn't anything else, like I said, I appreciate you taking the time and one, getting to know you a little bit more. And like I said, meeting on Instagram is great and having a lot of mutual friends, but you know, spending some time to talk with you, I think is really great. So
holler anytime, anything I
absolutely
can do.
Well, I'm sure I'll probably message you Instagram, you know, adventures soon here, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks again. And I'll try to edit this and get it out here. And I've never done a podcast before, so it's going to be an adventure, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.